89.3 Nigeria Info. We're reaching live from Etim Inyang Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. Friday, 25th of November, was the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. According to a statement quoting the Minister of Women Affairs, she said available statistics reveal that in Nigeria, 30% of girls and women aged between 15 and 49 are reported to have experienced sexual abuse, insurgency, protracted conflicts, new trends in kidnapping, and the recent flood which swept across the country, you know, have only served to worsen the occurrence. Now, we started a series yesterday on the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. The UN Women in 2021 said that since COVID in 2020, 45% of women reported that they or a woman they know has experienced a form of violence against women. 7 in 10 women said they think that verbal or physical abuse by a partner has become more common. This is according to UN Women. 6 in 10 felt that sexual harassment in public spaces has also worsened. So why do all forms of gender-related killings of women and girls still exist despite advocacies, despite awareness? So listen, the 16 days of activism let me break this down for you, right? Because it's quite important that we know why we're having this conversation. The Global 16 Days campaign, launched by the Center for Women's Global Leadership, CWGL, and feminists from around the world at the first Women's Global Leadership Institute in 1991, has been used worldwide to call for the elimination of gender-based violence. It is an annual event from November 25. That's the International Day Against Violence Against Women, to December 10, the International Human Rights Day. Now, the UN Secretary General launched in 2008 the campaign Unite by 2030 to End Violence Against Women. How successful has this been? But 2030 is just a couple years away, and this was launched as far back as 2008. Has there been an improvement, or has there been a drop in violence against women or gender-based violence since this campaign started back in 2008? We're in 2022. Your guess is as good as mine. So let me quickly bring on board my guest this morning. He was here yesterday as well. He's here again today. Olumide Omoshebi, the founder of Gnosis Help Initiative, is right here live in the studio with me. Olumide, morning to you.
Good morning, Sherif. Good morning.
It's good to have you here.
Everyone
again.
Likewise.
Let's have you know that we'll also be speaking with a survivor or a victim of gender-based violence today. Yesterday, we spoke with an anonymous man who is still experiencing gender-based violence in his marriage. Today, hopefully, we'll be speaking with a woman who will be sharing her story as well. This time, we'll start from the first part of the show. Hopefully, we'll be able to get through her story before we go off on break at the bottom of the hour. Olumide, quickly now, let's take a look at some. Because a lot of people, we spoke, we touched some areas yesterday, and I did say that we're going to, look at some character traits. And the sole purpose of this series is to educate. And you mentioned that yesterday as well. For those who don't know, what are the character traits that people need to watch out for?
Well, I personally have identified or narrowed it down to 7 character traits to avoid when considering your choice for a spouse. The first is pride. Avoid proud people. One character of pride is they are never wrong. They know everything about anything. A proud person hardly apologizes because, they are always right. If you are to take it to the scripture, you would see that God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. 6 things the Lord hates, 7th is an abomination. The first thing is a proud look. Now, there's something we call narcissism. Narcissism is the full ex- expression of pride, self-glorification, when it is all about them, all about themselves. They have no empathy or sympathy for anyone. It is all about them. You know, avoid proud people. Then the jealous. People thought, or, you know, I have met people who think jealousy is an expression of love. Jealousy is an expression of insecurity and not love. A jealous person. Let us even look at the origin word for jealous. It is gelus, the Latin word gelus, which means suspicious and possessive. Be careful of those people who isolate you from family and friends. They're always in your space. Who is that? Where is this? Where are you coming from? Well, let me see your phone. They check the, you know, they can't. Everything for them is to suspect. Suspect. Who is this? Who is that? You're cheating. You're sleeping. You know, to those people, you are cheating. You are sleeping around. Any friendship, you know, an abro of mine, you know, got married, and the wife told him the second day they got married, so, you know, all these single girls, you can't be greeting all these single girls and referring to people in the same compound. Don't greet this, don't greet that. Beware of jealous people. It's really tough.
But people say that jealousy is a sign of love.
No, it is not. It is not. When you check, I think it's in the book of Songs of Solomon. It says, anger is a flood. Wrath is overwhelming. But who can stand against jealousy? Nobody. It was a question. Who can stand against jealousy? They say, one thing they say God is a jealous God.
Yeah, they say that.
Can I tell you something? There is a difference between the jealousy of a creator to its creation. For example, if I am, say, Mercedes-Benz, and I create an engine, and then Honda puts their seal on the engine and unveils it in their car, of course, that will be a lawsuit waiting to happen. You design a shirt now.
That's right.
And next thing, you see me marketing the shirt as my own.
Yeah.
That is the jealousy of a creator to its creation. But you did not create that person. So the jealousy of God to man is the jealousy of creator to creation. Not, can you imagine one Toyota Corona now being jealous of another Toyota? You didn't make the, you know, you are both products.
Yeah.
So you don't own the person. You have freedom of speech, freedom of association. You don't own anybody. Then the stingy. You should beware of stingy people. Stingy is not someone that doesn't have, because you can't expect to take from someone who does not have. Stingy people are people that have but are unwilling to give. Everything is always a struggle to give, to open. It's impossible for me to say I love you and I have what you need, and I still cannot give you. I'll just give you some. You know, those people come to visit you empty-handed. They, you know, all the bread they are selling in front of your house, they can't even buy one. I say, I was coming to. They never spend. They always, you know, I tell you, if you want to know a stingy man, look at his wife. If you want to know a stingy woman, look at her children. They can be stingy. A stingy man can starve himself so you don't ask him for food.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
So before you even say, so if you go like that, your life exceeds the threshold of the normal expectancy of.
You have PhD.
Your own is. But you have the pathological liar and the manipulative liar. The pathological liar lies for no reason. You are not in trouble that you need to lie to save yourself. You just lie for no reason. So what are you doing? Oh, I'm into oil and gas. You know, I'm just about signing a contract with Lagos. They are always giving you, building castles in the air. When you don't commit your life to someone who you can't trust the words they say, then they're hot-tempered. The shortest cut to domestic violence and abuse is with a hot-tempered spouse. Someone who cannot control their passions, their anger, you know, they lash out at things, lash out at you, say all kinds of things, and they may come back at the end of the day to say, oh, I'm sorry, I was just angry. You know, I dated a lady once who slapped me at the Sabo bus stop.
Oh, shying, but
I'm telling you, you know that slap that you quickly look around to see if anybody saw you. I did, you know, if anybody was recording
in the evening,
in the afternoon. Now,
in the room.
Okay. What did I do? She asked for money. I didn't transfer on time, and I was driving. I said, I'm driving. I would. By the time I got there, always do things at your own kinikini. I said, at my own time. I said, I was driving kinikini. The person has gone now. So I just said, calm down. I just said, pow. You know, I wasn't even sure if it was somebody.
I'm sorry.
That and I was 10 years older than she was.
Really?
10 years older. Would slap me like,
What did he do?
Well, I first looked around. To see, because my house is not far from there. Before I get home, and they say, "Ah, Ross, they slap you for junction." Say, "What thing you do?" You know. So, a hot-tempered person, those that cannot control, that you have to stay away. Mm-hmm. Then the malicious people. So it's pride, jealous, stingy, liar, hot-tempered, malice. Mm-hmm. Now you have to be careful for people who don't forgive easily. They remember. It takes effort to, you know, you would beg, they would stop picking your calls, they would not respond to your text, you would apologize, and you're still angry. You know, you have to be careful. Some people, there are variations to malice. The first are those that don't forgive easily.
Yeah.
Then the second set of malicious people are people that cannot stand your success.
Oh.
What got Joseph into trouble? Because he said he had a dream and the sun, moon, and stars bowed. And then his own brothers plot to kill him. There are some people that you cannot share your success with. It's a competition. You know, some people get married and it is a competition on who makes, the wife cannot make more money than, there's a lady that came to us, she was promoted in the in the office, and, you know, she got home. And been promoted, though, they gave her official car. The husband said, "Why is it only you they're always promoting in that office? They promoted you 4 years ago, they promoted you again. You and that, your boss. Anyway, you can't park any official car in this." So she will park the official car by the filling station down the road. Because, you know, he cannot, some people cannot just celebrate with you. So you talk to them, you're saying, you know, you want to do your master's. There'll be no support. You say, and to be, you already have a job. What do you need a master's for? You know, you have to be careful with people who cannot stand you.
What if all of these people, these classes of people that you've mentioned, what if they have their good side? Does it matter
It doesn't matter. Okay, now, we lost someone to domestic violence and abuse. The husband is a comedian.
Ooh.
So their good side, they make you laugh. Does it, can it save the soul of the departed? Do you understand?
Yeah.
So what you are looking at is what you can take. I always tell you that you need to ask yourself this question: can I take this for the rest of my life? If you are struggling with that question, then you are in the wrong place. Do you know what it is to wake up next to someone in the morning asking yourself a question? If I had known this, I would not have married this person. You keep asking yourself that, telling yourself that every morning, I would not have married this person. I should not have married this person. That is the worst torture you can ever have every morning.
Now, what's the impact of this on, first is those who already in these dysfunctional relationships, either as they're still at that dating stage or they are married, they are there now. What is the action they should take? One, so they are there, but they are not just there alone, they are there with children. What is their option?
You know, for Nigeria, they keep saying things, oh, there are children now. I was one of the lawyers in Osinachi's case. They have four children. The mother is dead. The father is in prison. Where are the children? The same children that you stayed for will call another mother. Not even a year after, another woman would raise them. And will not even raise them. They will be scattered. You know, one family will not take four children. So this one will be in the east. That one will be in the west. The other one will be in the south. Children are not the primary reason for marriage. You can get children, you can adopt, you can, you don't even have to get married to have a child. So you are to marry because of companionship, because of support. There's a part that says two heads are better than one, because when one falls, the other would be able to lift. It's companionship. You are to get married to make your journey easier, to fulfill whatever you are here to do, because I believe everybody was here to solve a problem. So you, Mr. Sheriff, you are solving some problems, as you are. Some people are connected to you for the purpose of God put you here like a tree to shade some people. So everybody in their own. But when you get married and you're bright, I'm talking about fruits. How would the fruits be? That is how we have so many dysfunctional children, because they remain in abusive marriages. You know, I wanted to play something for you yesterday. You remember?
Yes, I remember. Oh my, I remember. God, let me see. But we couldn't get to do that because of time.
Because of time. So of time. A lady reached out to me. Oh my God! And she said that she was in an abusive marriage. Oh, let me read it out. I'm one of your fans from an abusive relationship. I can't call this one marriage. I have three kids, one boy, two girls. The boy has turned to something else. He's 18. For the girl, she's too aggressive. She fights with everyone. She talks to people anyhow. She's in SS2 and has changed school 5 times. The new school she is now, barely a term, she has been suspended for fighting. Please, I can't go on. I need your help. My kids need orientation, please. How and where should I go about it? I was like, you know, this is what happens when you remain in abusive marriages. You just raise your children to become abusive. Can I play? Well, after I spoke to her, she sent me a very passionate voice note. Let me play that so you would see what it means to raise children in abuse. Sorry, I'm doing this.
Okay.
All right.
Good morning, sir. Thank you very much. I've read your message, but I think there are some things I can still do again. Please, how can you help me? My life is short, and please, if you have any means to help me, please help me. My life is short, and please, please help me. If there is any means, the kids need orientation, please. Please, please, if you have any means to help me, please. If you see as you come, I'll try and bring them. Please, and please. The last one is just said, please help me, please, for God's sake, please. I have nowhere to run to, I have nobody to call to, please help me. My life is shattered, please help me.
That is the cry of a woman with three kids who have gone haywire. She doesn't know what to do, fighting everyone. And the last one is 10. She's been suspended 5 schools. That is what happens when you say because of the children. It is because of the children that you should leave, so that they don't grow up to become the abuser they were raised under. It is only here in developed countries. Once there is domestic violence and abuse, the state takes over the children.
That's right. So let's head out. Let's take this break. When we return, we'll speak with another survivor. Lagos, stay with us. We'll be back.
More news and information coming up. We'll be back in a moment. This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Morning Crossfire. We're doing 16 days of activism against gender-based violence here. Started November 25. It's going to end on International Human Rights Day, December 10. I'm Sheriff Quadri Olumide Omoshebi is here. We started yesterday. We're going to do this for 3 days, today and tomorrow. Olumide, before the break, we give out some you know, character traits, and people have been saying that they want you to repeat it. Could you go through these character traits again?
Okay. Avoid the proud, the jealous, the stingy, the liar, the hot-tempered, the malicious, and the jobless. Yes. People tend to marry jobless people, thinking that he has prospects, she has prospects. Prospect is not a character trait and does not pay salary. Let them get a job before. Then there is a special class. You see, if you are unemployed, it means you have the skill, the talent, or the qualification to get a job, but you don't have a job now. You are looking for. So let them find first or start something. But there's another class of people that are unemployable. Either they don't have the skill set, talent, or education, or as a result of character, they are not suited to work in any environment because they are toxic. Avoid the reward for unemployment is not marriage. Let them get a job, because you would start taking care of wife. And those men that think, okay, don't worry, I will send her to school, I will open a shop, I will do this, I will do that. Listen, there's a difference between a husband and a father. You don't take over a fatherly role when you have not even tried to. It's not in marriage. You now start discovering whether she can manage a supermarket. Know before that this person is able to, even if they are selling pure water, if they are selling beads, let them have something that they are. But some people just see the other as a means of income. I mentioned that some people are raised to survive and some people are raised to love. To those that were raised to survive, you are a means of survival. That means for them, you are the survival tool. So they are with you because they will survive with you. You feed them, you clothe them. They are not here to do any work. They are just here to survive. And once you are not able to do that, they move on to the next. So you say, she's cheating. No, she's surviving. That's how she was raised. He's surviving because you, woman, are his means of survival. So avoid those people. Let them be doing something.
Let's take one message, then we'll speak with our survivor this morning. Olumiwa. This person says, his name is this from Aja. He didn't say I should keep his name, but I'm going to keep it regardless. He said, I just suffered this domestic violence from my partner for the umpteenth time. She has taken the advantage that I don't hit women to get violent at me at the slightest provocation. She's given me various injuries, and after that she will start apologizing. She provokes me to hit her after she hits me. Just last night she attacked me again in an argument, tore my shirt, beat me seriously on my chest, and hit me with dangerous objects. I am 10 times physically stronger, but it can't, or you mean you can't hit her. I feel used. Should men be silent about this? Yes, they are.
You see, I don't really understand when the good book tells you, lead us not into temptation, but you are marrying your temptation. So this year, there's a gentleman who in 9 years of marriage had not touched the wife. The wife was, you know, always provocative, you know, provoking him. So this year, first time he was about to leave, and she grabbed him that she's talking, and he turned back to slap her. They were by the door. The slap made her hit her head on the door, and there was a knob there which now pierced into her head. She died instantly of internal bleeding to the brain. That was the first time he would hit her. She had always been hitting. The first reaction, it was just a slap.
After 9 years.
9 years.
Of being abused.
Now, of course, where do you think he is? He's in jail, because nobody would hear of all the provocations, how she assaulted, insulted, provoked. Nobody will hear that. What they will hear is, you killed your wife. So you leave your provocation. You don't cling to your provocation. So what is going to happen now? You will stay there until one day she probably stabs you. She will marry another. When you die, she will marry another man. I don't know how you think that it is a virtue to remain in an abusive marriage or relationship.
Indeed. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. Let's speak with our guest this morning. We're just going to say that she's an anonymous. Hello, madam. Good morning to you.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Let's hear you. And first, I'd like to say thank you for agreeing to share your story. It takes courage. It takes, unbelievable amount of courage for someone to be able to share what the kind of story that you're about to share. Please, let's hear your story, madam.
Okay. So, good morning.
Can you be more audible? We can barely hear you.
Okay,
now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a bit better now.
Okay, just a moment. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's better now.
Okay. So, I'm going to share my story so that people can actually learn and know the signs and take the right decision. Okay, so I was married for about 13 years and I was in a very abusive relationship, very abusive. You know, it started early in the marriage, and no woman goes into marriage with the intention to leave or for it not to work out. So throughout the 13 years, I stayed believing it will work out. Good. And being an Igbo woman, you know, a typical Igbo woman, when I say a typical Igbo woman, I mean an Igbo woman with Igbo mother and father, Igbo parents. Somehow you are trained to make your marriage work.
Mm.
If it doesn't work, the society sees you as a failure. So that's why a typical Igbo woman would rather live dead. Staying in that marriage is like a thing of honor, even though things have changed now. And that's why our mothers didn't leave. It was a shame to the woman's family, especially when you're told to leave. You know, it was a shame to your siblings. You know, some people will brag, oh, in my family, we don't divorce, the women, they stay. So with that mindset as an Igbo woman, you are, sorry, can I go on?
Yes, I was going to say that what because of time, what happened exactly? Because we're short of time right now.
Okay, so let me just go.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of verbal abuses, physical abuse. There was a time we had an argument, and just to pour out his frustration, he actually smashed my head to the wall, and I fainted. He was the same person that revived me. I went to the police. When I went to the police, they asked him what happened. And in front of everybody, he told everyone that I slipped and I fell. And I asked myself, I said, if I had died, that's what he would have told everyone. It was so bad that he was so controlling that he used to lock me out of the house for coming in late. What is late with Lagos traffic? 7:15. 7:30 p.m., sometimes to 8. There was this particular incident where I was stuck in traffic. I'm just trying to remember incidences. And it was to 7. It rained. Everywhere was blocked. I was stuck in traffic. And during that period, he usually have his online meeting. So I told our household to please go to his room, tell him that I'm stuck in traffic and that I'm running late.
Mm.
You know what he did? He told the household, call her in front of me and tell her and say, you're an idiot.
He told the help to tell you.
Put it on speakerphone in front of him and call me an idiot.
The household should call you an idiot.
Yes. You know, when I went to the police, when he locked me out, the DPO then of the area where I used to stay before I left brought out the marital statutory law, a book, and read, because after he hit my head on the wall, my emotions towards him died. We haven't had sex for over a year. So the DPO said, see, any marriage that is not consummated is dead. Go and have sex. You have the answer in your hands. Go and have her sex. I said, how can I have sex with a man who has killed me emotionally? He said, it is not violent. Since that time he hit his head on the wall, has he beat you again? I said, no, but he's always emotionally abusing me. The DPO said, that's not abuse, Joe. This is what husband and wife go through. Go and have sex. And after that incident, he went from being violent 80% to
99.9%.
He became so aggressive. My children learned the word wayward prostitute Ashawo from their mother, from their father.
From their father.
From the mouth of their father. They had not heard it outside, they heard it from their father. And you know one thing we do as parents, we think we're staying for the children, we're damaging the children. By the time I said, enough, my sanity is being messed up, this is a man, learned, the head of a department of one of the top three insurance companies in Nigeria. He is learned, and he locks his wife out because she came home late due to traffic. Puts everybody in fear.
Have you seen the impact of all of this on the children?
You know, when I left, these children opened up. How they were scared. My son told me, Mommy, I thought he would kill you one day. My daughter, while I was still in the house, told me and said, Mommy, you said Osinachi, if she had left, would have been alive to train her children. Why don't you get a case and let's move out of here so that daddy will stop troubling you? This is a child less than 10. By the time we left, I had to start working on my first son because he would always lash out at the sister, you know, lash out at her, shout on her, you know, try to intimidate her. That was exactly what he saw his father do to me. So we had to talk, counsel, we had to wait this. I was lucky because my child is not yet an adult. We are damaging our children. If my son was maybe 15, 17, it would have been more difficult.
Did you notice anything at all in this man before you settled down, before you married him?
You know, I usually get that
question. Right.
People change. You know, one thing we look at before we get married is, is he a born-again Christian? My ex was born again. Is he hardworking? Does he have prospects? Is he a good man? Will he provide for the family? And what have you? We don't usually ask about a person's past. We don't ask about a person's childhood and traumas. We don't do that. Once the person is born again, walking in church and what have you, you feel like you're the luckiest woman. And it goes both ways. There are a lot of adults with childhood traumas, unsolved childhood traumas, and they get married and they unleash it on their spouse.
Right. Right.
My ex grew up in a violent home. He He grew up with his brother and the wife. He was so violent to the wife. So, and my ex didn't grow up in an environment with love. So all he knew was survival. So even when you show him love, he doesn't recognize it.
He can't recognize, he can't connect.
Sex is not love.
Right.
People think sex, touching, kissing is no. A lot of people don't recognize
Look, madam, thank you so much. We're so pressed for time. We just want to appreciate the fact that you were able to share your story, and we congratulate you for getting yourself back. And please, we need to do a whole lot more of work, you know, on the kids. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, right?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. What a story, right?
Wow. Yes, it was.
We'll do the last one tomorrow because we're completely out of time right now. But tomorrow what we'll do is we'll open up the telephone lines and get, you know, people's reaction over the telephone lines, because right now we're completely out. Olumide, again, thank you so much. People thank are calling, you, but we can't you. Take calls. Thank you for coming around. Lagos, we're back tomorrow for the third installment. Tomorrow we'll take your reaction. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Good morning.
One step ahead with the latest news and trending conversations here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Don't tell people, are you added weight? Why are you losing weight?
Yeah.
Are you eating? No, it's not your business.
That money, the pass is good, and finally!
We should be patient and pray to God that God is going to answer our prayer.
Please, this is not all about prayer. It's not like everything is not prayer. That is Nigerian mentality. It's not finding happiness in your home. Look,
The World Cup is a global phenomenon. A spectacle that everybody wants to keep.